Welcome to the Kona Edge, where you'll discover what the best triathletes in the world do to give them the edge.
Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. I'm Brad Brown, and another first this week. Although, from a nationality point of view, we've spoken to a few Australians, but it's the first time that we head to Singapore. We've got an Aussie who's based in Singapore and trains for his Ironmans there. So that's who we're going to be chatting to today. But before we get into today's podcast, don't forget that coming up is the 2016 IM Summit. Super, super stoked to be able to share it with you. And we are literally just a week and a bit away from that starting. If you have not registered yet, you can pick up your free ticket now. It is free for a limited time only. All you need to do is head over to TheIMSummit.com you can check it out there, register, and we look forward to having you part of this year's summit. Some massive, massive names. We've got Lucy Gossage, Tyler Butterfield, Pedro Gomez, Susie Cheatham is joining us as well, and then a couple of incredible medical practitioners and some phenomenal stories. We've got a Laureus Sports Award nominee, a guy by the name of Peter Dupree, who's the first quadriplegic. He's got 15% use of his triceps. That's it. And he's done an Ironman. So make sure you join us to listen to that story. It is phenomenal. TheIMSummit.com is where you can get all those details. But enough of me yakking. Let's get straight into today's show. Welcome on to this edition of the Kona Edge. It's off to Singapore we go now. And it's the first time we've spoken to somebody in Singapore. Though he's not a national of Singapore, he's Australian. It's a great pleasure to welcome Roger Hasty onto the podcast. Roger, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
G'day, Brad. Yeah, great to be here.
Roger, your story is phenomenal, and I can't wait to delve into it, because you took quite a long break from the sport, and you're back now, and back with a vengeance. You're getting some great performances in. But your life as a banker, you're pretty busy. How do you manage to sort of get time to do everything you need to do from a work perspective, from a family perspective, and then from a training and racing perspective too?
Yeah, no, that's an interesting one, Brad. You know, it's just a lot of juggling. First and foremost, I've got a very supportive family. Wife and daughter are key there. On top of that, just a lot of planning and prioritisation. It's obviously a demanding sport, but one that is selfish in its own right, but you can make it work by working with your family and support crew and having those around you who are like-minded or appreciate what you're doing.
Roger, one thing you mentioned to me in our email chat prior to this recording is you said to me you took quite a long break off from the sport. So you were active and then really didn't do anything for almost close to two decades. I mean, it's an incredible break, and now you're back. What was the reason for the break? Were you just disillusioned, or did life get in the way and you got busy?
Yeah, a combination of a couple of things. I mean, I found my way into triathlon via golf of all sports. I was a reasonably competitive golfer, low single figures, and a couple of the guys in the club were doing fitness work, and one of those disciplines was a bit of swimming. So I decided to start swimming a bit, and I'd always run a fair bit in high school, and difficult athletics when I was younger. So I had a bit of a running background, but decided I wanted to improve my fitness for golf and started to swim a bit more. And I used to do a paper run when I was a kid. So I rode a bike around the streets for some time, hardly, you know, long distance or triathlon type training, but enough for a simulation to sort of whet the appetite on top of watching whitewater sports like many did back in the late 80s. So, that's sort of how I started to get the interest or the inspiration. From there, one thing led to another, and I started to do a bit more training. But unfortunately, I ended up with what we call chronic fatigue, and as you said before, life got in the way, so part of the recovery, I had some additional work responsibilities, so I sort of deviated down that path. But I wasn't inactive during those couple of decades, but it was I got back to running again after about 10 years and things just progressed into half marathons and marathons. And then all of a sudden I got the inspiration when I came to Singapore to have another crack at triathlon.
Roger, in those early days, before you took that time off, what sort of distances from a triathlon perspective were you doing? Were you doing the long stuff or was it shorter stuff?
I started with the sprint distance, did quite a few of those. It was a steep learning curve. You know, for early races, I was just about last out of the water and I struggled to find the run legs despite being a bit of a runner. I guess backing myself in that discipline, but it has persistence paid off there, and I just slowly graduated to Olympic and then into long course, and ended up doing quite a few long courses, and actually entered two Ironmans, but actually never started. I got injured in one preparation, and then the other one I was sick on the last week of the race, so I had to pull out. So you know, a bit of trial and error and missed opportunity perhaps, or perhaps a saving grace, I don't know.
Well, you reckon that's one of the things that brought you back to the sport is knowing that you had some unfinished business?
I think that's one element. I'm one of these people that never say never, so, you know, I won't retire, but I'm always one of these people that wants to turn up and do their best, and that was one of the elements that sort of prohibited me in my own mind for doing Ironman. It is a commitment, and you've got to have the right environment and space and support for that. You know, it's about discipline and consistency ultimately. So that was one element. I think the other was just the inspiration of watching guys like Craig Alexander and Simon Whitfield and Greg Bennett and others from that early era of mine, watch those guys go on to achieve some amazing things. That sort of, I always kept an eye on it and always had an interest in the sport. So seeing those guys do so well at the highest level, the flame was always there.
You talk about the chronic fatigue, and I'd like to dig into that a bit, because it's funny. I had coffee with a mate of mine the other day, and she was saying to me, she's also, funnily enough, a previous Kona qualifier. She's raced on the Big Island, and she was just saying she's feeling so burnt out and so tired. She's training, but she's really struggling with that. And I think that's something that a lot of triathletes battle with. Has it been something you've had to be really mindful of on the comeback, that you don't end up down that road again?
Absolutely. And it's a day-to-day proposition in terms of just balancing the training requirements, the lifestyle requirements, and particularly recovery and trying to get that right balance amongst all those conflicting priorities or events in your life. So it's about juggling. It's about also being intuitive or knowing where limits may or may not be from a training but also a health perspective. You know, just being able to predict those warning signs and just be prepared to take a little bit of time off or miss a session. You know, it takes a bit of pill to swallow at times, but you know, you got to back yourself and take those calls along the way.
Roger, does that come with age, that sort of wisdom? I know when we're young and in our 20s, we think we're sort of invincible and we can flog ourselves to death. And as we get older, we start realizing, hang on a sec, we writing checks our bodies can't cash. Is age getting older, does that make things a bit easier or does it make it harder?
It's a mixed bag, to be honest, Brad. I mean, I think first and foremost, I've got a fair few grey hairs, so I guess you get a bit wiser and you learn to respect yourself a bit more as you get older. I think going a bull in the gate on every training session like I once tried to certainly contributed to my demise back when I was younger. So, you know, you've got to be smart enough to learn from learn from those experiences. And I guess the attitude I have is, you know, the smarter I train, the stronger I get. So just having that in the back of my mind rather than going down another path that won't be as supportive of what you're trying to achieve. Mm.
Roger, what's the number one thing you're struggling with right now from a triathlon perspective?
Fatigue, managing fatigue.
Well, it's interesting you say that. Do you think that's something that's exclusive to you, or is it something that you think a lot of triathletes struggle with?
I think it's part of the sport. I think we're trying to juggle a number of disciplines plus all the other components to the sport. And for me, I think you are typically on the edge more often than not. And I particularly mean during a build phase for a major race. You know, just striking that balance between, doing too much, and tipping yourself over that edge, or doing enough to push the needle to get the adaptations that you need. It's a fine line, and clearly nutrition and lifestyle and getting that right that sleep management piece of recovery right is a key part to that.
Have you ever had a nap on your office floor?
I'll have to admit I have, but that was in the first tilt. I have to admit, yeah, in the first tilt at the sport, yes. This round, no, I haven't. But I do have the occasional kip in the afternoons after a long ride.
You're obviously doing something right. Something that you mentioned to me as well is that you are self-coached, and I find that quite interesting. I mean, obviously, I chat to a lot of age groupers. The decision to do things on your own?
I was self-coached too in my journey to qualifying for Kona, but about 4 months ago, I actually did join up with Christian Manetta from Tri Pacific. So I've been working closely with him for the last 12 months in the final lead up to Kona, and then in the races I've done subsequent to that. But the journey getting to that point, it was interesting. It was a little bit of a textbook lesson because I stumbled across a book by Joe Friel called, I think, My Best Triathlon, I think it was called, and sort of followed a blueprint plan that he had and sort of just adapted and juggled things to suit given work commitments and travel and the like. And on the way, stumbled into a couple other pretty handy triathletes here in Singapore and formed a little training group and, you know, kicked a few ideas around. So it was kind of a sort of fun exercise and one that sort of came together reasonably well. I think the key thing in any of this, and it goes back to a little bit about talking about my fatigue, it's about the formula and knowing yourself and knowing the type of person and type of athlete you are, and being willing and prepared to validate those sort of thoughts or fears, but then prepared to sort of challenge them as well. It's really important, I think. I mean, I'm not the biggest and most powerful guy in the world, but I've got my own strengths that I believe in and I use those and back my own formula when it comes to racing and also training.
I find that interesting because that I think is a key point that often people want to be the best at everything. And I love the fact that you found the things that you're good at and you realize that and you play to your strengths. Yeah. What would you say your strengths are?
My strength in triathlon, funny enough, is I don't consider I have a real weakness. I'm pretty consistent in all three disciplines. And on top of that, I do just focus on doing the 1%ers that come up. I mean, the key to that for me is preparation. If you're striving to do your best or get a Kona site, ultimately every second counts. And there's no such thing as being overprepared in my mind. It's really your best chance to improve the odds of success. So, that's sort of how I approach it.
What, in your opinion, what does success look like for you in triathlon?
Sorry, I missed that, Brent.
In your opinion, what does success look like for you?
Getting the best out of myself on a day. That doesn't have to be a PB, and it doesn't have to be a kind of qualify or a podium finish, but it's just knowing you've turned up and got the best. You're playing your cards the best you can with what you've got on that day.
As far as playing to your strengths and course selection, how do you look at what races you want to race from is it purely looking at the calendar, or is it also looking at the terrain and what it has to offer?
It's a combination for me. I've done 3 Ironman Western Australias, principally because it's an easy race for us to get to because of the same time zone. In terms of course composition, it's quite a flat course, which intuitively wouldn't be my first choice because I'm a fairly light guy. So how and why did I go down that path? The timing in the calendar works. The temperature, typical temperature race day, it can be variable, but it'd be on the warmer side, so that sort of plays to my environment that I do train in. So that does resonate with me in selection. One that has interest or surrounds an environment that you're comfortable with. And to be honest, that's one part of the world I absolutely love. It's just amazing terrain. It's very similar to what I experienced in South Africa earlier this year as well. So, that's sort of my selection piece. Kona qualifier spots, do form part of the the puzzle, but not exclusive.
Roger, as far as looking at the Kona slots and I think Busselton in particular, Western Australia's towards the end of the year, it's normally first or second week in December, which can get quite hot as well. So we'll touch on that too, and using that for sort of getting your mind and body right for Kona. But it's a long way out from a Kona. It's almost a year till Kona rolls around. So picking up a slot at Western Australia, is that advantageous or is it not so much? I chat to a lot of age groupers who almost want to try and qualify in their build up to Kona. So they're banking that they're going to get a slot, but they're using their qualifying race as a build up to Kona, whereas Busselton's almost too far out to be able to do that.
Yeah, I think you are right there. It is in a bit of no man's land in terms of Kona. There are quite a few guys that back up to Busselton after doing Kona. We've hoped to just carrying that form over and hoping to tick the box. For a Southern Hemisphere athlete, it's certainly at the beginning of the season, so that creates a little bit of a challenge and would require 2 big bills to Kona. For us here in Singapore, there's no season. It's just continuous indoor summer heat and humidity. So you need to sort of factor in that a level of periodization through the year and find the windows that work best. For me, my first Ironman Western Australia was just opportunistic and appealed to me. The second one, my aspiration was to race it and improve on the first round performance, and the kindness of it was a bonus at the end of the day. Having been through the subsequent Lyleland build through to Kona in 15. I tend to say it's not optimal, but I don't think you can be choosy with Kona socks. You've got to value every one, and if you can get one, I certainly wouldn't knock it back.
Yeah, I was going to say a Kona slot's a Kona slot. I don't care when I get it. That's my opinion. But it's interesting. You talk about the heat and the humidity, and I mentioned Busselton. I mean, December Busselton can get brutally hot. But as you rightly say, Singapore's nowhere close to one of the poles. It must be interesting training in those conditions year round.
Yeah, it is a challenge, and I guess that also links back to the fatigue factor. You know, training in 24, 25 degrees at, you know, 4:30, 5 a.m. in the morning is very different from getting out there when it's low teens or even single digits. So you've got to sort of look at the level, exertion level, and effort required for each and every session, and I think that's one element that I'm getting better at, and that's going easy. When I'm supposed to go easy, I'll go easy, and when I need to go harder, I'll go harder, but you really cannot afford to be going hard all the time, otherwise it will creep up, and it's really the accumulation factor. And I think the other element there that I have pursued is I do now a lot more indoor type training just to lessen the impact. I mean, you still need to get out on the road to harden the body up, but equally the treadmill is certainly a good tool that can be used effectively. And same, I have an indoor cycling herb trainer called a Red Box, which I absolutely love, and that's also an effective way to get some quality in, whilst sort of managing that overall exertion level when you're outside as well.
Brilliant. Roger, tell me a little bit about the triathlon scene in Singapore. I mean, I don't know much about the country as a whole, but I mean, triathlon, is it growing as much as the sport's growing globally?
Absolutely. In the Asia Pacific region, it's there's more races popping up all the time. In terms of Singapore itself, it's typically sprint and Olympic distance. There's no longer stuff here, but there are quite a few 70.3s in the vicinity, and then there are a couple of Ironman in regions. In terms of the calibre of athlete here in Singapore, we had at least 10, probably 15 athletes in Kona last year. So there's obviously quite a few handy athletes in the within the vicinity here.
That's interesting. Talk to me about your experience at Kona and getting there, knowing that you had taken such a long break and you had followed the sport and seen what some of, like you said, Craig Alexander, what those guys had done. It must have been an incredible experience.
Totally amazing. Absolutely surreal, the whole experience. I mean, I went there with not expecting the world personally, but with a focus on making the most of it, because you know, you never know if you're going to get back again. That's always the aim, but you never know, and it's just one of those life experiences that's put before you, and you want to make the most of it. So I ended up heading over about 10 days before, enjoyed quietness in town for a couple of days, and then the travelling circus came through. So that was certainly an eye-opening experience. But just the whole theatrics, the lava hills, the climb to Harvey, the rough water out from the pier, a lazy drive and the like, it just all exceeded expectations.
I love the fact that you say you never know if you are going to go back or not, so you need to make the most of it. Now that you've experienced it, is it one of those experiences where you go, okay, cool, I've ticked the box, I can move on to something else now, or once Kona's in your blood, it's in your blood, and you just want to keep going back?
It's a good one. For me, absolutely want to go back. I had a great experience, but I didn't feel like I had my best day. In a perverse way, I actually feel like the place and the course actually suits me. So I think I can do it better and smarter next time. So that inspires me to try and crack another go at it. But equally, you know, once I've done it again, and when that happens, undoubtedly I'll probably want to go back again. But it's just an alluring place. And just to have the quality of people and just your history before you when you're there, it's absolutely inspiring.
Yeah, it seems like an incredible place. Roger, what's the biggest lesson or life lesson that triathlon has taught you?
Patience. It's patience and keeping calm, I think, are the two biggest ones. Patience from the point of view that you don't achieve overnight. It does take time. There will be a bit of a roller coaster. My coach keeps saying that, you know, progression is not linear. But the key thing is what you learn from each and every experience you have, with session to session and race to race. So, and calmness, from the point of view of, just finding your own space, your own way of doing things and such that it's not intrusive on others around you. That way you can really focus on what it is you need to do in preparation and also in that final push into any sort of race.
If you could go back and start your entire triathlon career again, is there anything you'd do differently?
I feel I'm lucky to have what I have, and have it too. So, hindsight 2020, for me, it's really about making most of what opportunities present. Ultimately, things happen for a reason. So, for me, I think, to be honest, I've no regrets. I mean, I'm just fortunate to have the opportunity to do what we do. So that's my position.
One thing I love about triathletes, Roger, is they're just so willing to share information and help out others. If I mean, we've got a lot of age groupers that listen to this that are trying to qualify and are trying to get better and get to Kona, but we've also got a lot of athletes who are starting out in the sport and are contemplating their first Ironman. What advice would you give to the newbie, someone who's thinking about doing an Ironman? What would you tell them? What would you tell yourself if you were starting out again?
I think a few things come to mind there. First of all, you cannot do Ironman on a half-baked approach. I think you really need to commit to a program or to a level of training. I think that's almost it's absolutely essential. And part of that is having the support of family, friends, or club mates or the like in that. But it is a particularly lonely sport in its own way. You've got to find that sort of formula that is sustainable. There's no point in trying to commit to doing 25 hours of a week training when you've really realistically only got got 13, which would also be adequate to achieve. Equally, you've got to balance things. So I think just that initial building block, I think it's really, really important. And I think when starting off, we need to be realistic. That way you will do or greater chances of doing what the sport's all about, and that's enjoy the experience. My first Ironman experience was just unforgettable. It was just a great celebration of preparation and getting to the line and getting through a long day at the office. But I think trying to do too much or be something more than what you really are at a point in time can detract from the experience, and that I have seen that turn some away or turn some off stepping up to the next level in terms of distance. So be it. So that's my thoughts there.
I love the fact that you use the word celebration, Roger, because that for me is my first one was exactly that. Training for an Ironman is tough. There's no two ways about it, particularly if you have a full-time job and if you have a family. I mean, I, like you, have a family. I've got kids myself, and it's difficult, but that's what it is. It's however long it takes you, and if it takes you 17 hours, it takes you 17 hours. But think of it as that. It's a 17-hour celebration of all the hard work you've put in over the last 6 to 12 months.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, for me, it's 80% of it's turning up. And that's no. I still remember being on the starting line in Busselton and having a tear in the eye because actually making it to the start line is... It's a major effort, through the chances of injury or destruction or illness and the like. But also, you don't do it alone, as I alluded to before, and appreciate every volunteer that's at aid stations and appreciate your fellow competitors that are going through the same thing. I mean, that's a really unique bond that does exist in Ironman. Certainly brings me back year after year.
Yeah, and sadly, the first one is always the best one. And even if you achieve things later on, and like you get to race at Kona, that first one, it's very difficult to replicate that feeling of that first one.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I should say, because that's what keeps us coming back.
Yes, indeed.
Roger, for you, what do you still want to achieve in the sport?
I do want to get back to Kona. I still feel like I haven't had my most satisfying day in an Ironman. I feel like I can get the balance right between the three better. And I would love to jag a spot on a podium somewhere in an Ironman in age group. That would be amazing if I could achieve that. And I think just doing what we do and sometimes don't appreciate is how it actually resonates or impacts on others, and just continuing to do that, maybe not so much inspire people, but just get people to think about lifestyle and looking at what can be done rather than what can't be done.
Yeah, you're spot on. I mean, the human body is incredible. Roger, thank you very much for sharing your story with us. I look forward to getting you back on to chat about the individual disciplines and some of the things and you've done there. But, I think your story is incredible. Well done on the comeback, and congratulations on that Kona slot. And I know you are chasing another one. And best of luck in your quest.
Thanks, Brad. Great to speak to you.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for the Kona Edge.